just connect with God before I begin. Father, speak through me. I'm not worthy, but I sure am willing. And you and I have talked about what we're going to do here today, and I just want to be your mouthpiece, Lord. I ask this in your holy name. Amen. Well, it is a most wonderful time of the year. I think most of us would agree that. And today we've intentionally tried to ignore the over-commercialism and the frenetic, crazy busyness of the holiday season and joyfully spend some moments celebrating the birth of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Woo! What a blessing we have that we have the hope of Jesus Christ. And so we're in a short series I'm calling The Songs of Christmas. The Songs of Christmas. And in this series, what we're doing is we're looking at two of the four songs that are found in Luke's chapters 1 and 2. And long before a Christmas carol was written, long before the word Christmas was even invented, the Bible tells us of some songs that some Bible characters sang. We don't have the music, wish we did, but we do have the lyrics. And so we're looking at the lyrics of two of Bible songs in Luke 1 and 2 that I think tell us a lot about who Jesus is and just what a wonderful thing his birth as our Savior is. Now, speaking of Christmas songs, we are in full bore Christmas music mode here at McKinleyville SBA. And we have another carol that we're going to sing at the end of our service today. And next Sabbath, we'll follow the same. We're just going to be doing a lot of singing of Christmas carols. And I don't know if you enjoy singing Christmas carols half as much as me. But if you do, you are a happy camper walking around with a big grin on your face. However, it wasn't always that way for me. I'm going to tell a story on myself. It's rather embarrassing, but I'm going to come clean. When I was in the fourth grade of my elementary school, there was a volunteer music teacher, and she announced that we were going to have a Christmas program. Most schools do. If you were blessed enough to go to the program on Thursday, Shelley, awesome job. Way to go. Shelley was the leader. Valerie played keys. And they just did a phenomenal job. And so it's kind of characteristic for schools to do an annual Christmas program. Our school did it. And the school that I was attending at the time when I was in the fourth grade decided to do that. So this volunteer music teacher came in. And our homeroom teacher made this announcement. She said, we're going to have a choir made up of students from the fourth grade, third and fourth grade. And we would like you to be in the choir, but you don't have to be. It's not going to be under compulsion. But if you're not in the choir, you have to sit quietly in a study hall under the watch, the careful watch of the homeroom teacher. Now, I hate to admit this, but when I was in the fourth grade, I thought that singing was girly, sissy stuff. And I wasn't going to be caught singing, no way, no how. And so myself and three other fourth graders boycotted singing in the elementary school choir, getting ready for the Christmas program. And where all the other students went off to practice for the Christmas program, Ronnie Malore and three other boys stayed in the classroom and did study hall. Well, evidently it was not as fun as we thought it would be because we couldn't talk. We were supposed to be quiet and we were supposed to study, read, or do whatever we're supposed to do. And one by one, my comrades in crime caved in and they went to the choir until it was only Ronnie Malore in the class with the teacher, and I wasn't going to sing because singing was girly, sissy stuff. So fast forward 5 years, and I am a 10th grader, 9th grader, at Junior Academy. And there was this girl that I took a liking to, Pamela. And there was a singing group made up of 9th and 10th graders, and Pamela invited me to the singing group. Well, I'm immediately presented with a dilemma. I am not going to sing, because that's sissy stuff. But yet, I'm invited to the group, and hormones went out. And so I decided to go to the singing group. I thought, well, at least I could lip sync. No one else would know. And at least I could hang out with Pamela Carswell. So I decided to join the singing group. And much to my surprise, I found out that singing is actually fun. And not only did I find out that it was fun, but I found out that I caught on to things really quickly, and I could hear harmonies, and I could hear music, and why did I miss out on so much? But for a period of time, I did not think that singing was cool. But I am so glad that I discovered that singing is indeed very cool. And if I could have looked at myself now to see that I sing almost every Sabbath in some function, I would go, "You're an idiot, my Lord, to think that singing is not cool." Singing is fun. Amen? And singing Christmas carols, singing Christmas songs is fun. And we're going to look at a Christmas song that was sung by some angels today. Angels know how to sing. And angels never had the hang up that I had, that singing wasn't cool. We're going to look at Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 20. If you're following along in your Bible, I'll have the words on the screen. Let's start. Luke 2, verses 8. "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks by night." You get the picture. There's shepherds in the fields. It's night, they're watching their herds. But to really understand the importance of the angel song that we're going to be discussing, we need to understand that the angels sang to shepherds. We need to understand a little bit about shepherds. Shepherds were not the most important people in the first century. No one invited shepherds to their party. Nobody did. No mom said to their little boy, "If you're a really good boy and you work hard, someday you can grow up and be a shepherd." No mom ever said that. Shepherds were considered dirty and ignorant because they led a gypsy-like lifestyle, living out there in the fields. They didn't take showers or baths, and you can just imagine how they smelled. Shepherds were considered ceremonially unclean and were not even allowed in synagogues. Yes, shepherds were banned from church. Shepherds were not considered credible sources, and they were not permitted to give testimony in a court of law. And there was at least one occasion in the Old Testament in Israel's history where shepherding was assigned to someone as a punishment to them. People simply had no dealings with shepherds. But God did. God did. And on this night, as recorded in Luke, some shepherds were watching their sheep. Can you see them huddled around a fire to keep their hands warm? Some of them are on watch duty. Others are asleep, bundled up in some blankets right there on the ground. The night air is crisp and cold, but it's very pungent with a smell of sheep. The sky is black, except for the dotting of a few stars and the sliver of a moon. It was a night just like any other night, the shepherds out in the fields watching their flocks. But then it happened. That night, the sky just parted. It parted, and suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared. All at once, an angel came down to them from the Lord, and the brightness of the Lord's glory flashed around them. The shepherds were frightened. Now, I think we have a big misconception about angels. Angels are not the kind of figurines that we place on the tip-top of our Christmas trees. Fair-haired, almost childlike or feminine-like, soft-looking. No, you will not find that biblical description of angels at all. Because in the Bible, when an angel appeared to a human being, the first reaction of that human being was go, "Yikes, I'm scared." And the angel would characteristically say, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Angels were scary beings when they showed up to people often. Again, the description of an angel is much different than we have on our Christmas cards and on top of our Christmas trees. The angel showed up and said, "Do not be afraid," because it was scary to see the dazzling brilliance of that angel being. The Shekinah glory of God shone. And these shepherds grabbed their anything they could to shield themselves because they were scared. They were quaking in their boots. But as they looked closer to the source of this incredibly bright, blinding light, they saw a being from another world. And they were frightened. Yes, the angel's appearance was frightening, but the angel's words were comforting and not frightening. This is what it says in Luke 2. The angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths, lying in a manger." They could hardly believe what they had seen, and they could hardly believe what they were hearing. Could this really be the day? For centuries, prophets had talked that there would be a Messiah that would be born. Could it possibly be that that baby, that Messiah, was here today? Now, what happened next is like way beyond the super spectacular. The sky opened up and there was a whole host of heavenly angels that were brilliant, blinding, blazing. This is what it says in Luke 2, 13 and 14. Suddenly, a great army of heavenly angels appeared, with the angel that had originally appeared singing praises to God. Glory to God in the highest. Glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to those with whom He is pleased. In addition to the impressive sight of the brilliance of that angelic host, was the impressive sound of the angel choir. Now, I would imagine you, like me, you've heard choirs sing. Some are better than others, but we have some good earthly choirs. The Vienna Boys Choir is a noted choir. The Mormon Tabernacle Choir is a noted choir. The Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir is also. And there's a number of really great earthly choirs. But I think if you take an earthly choir and compare them to a heavenly choir being the angels, that probably the earthly choir would sound like croaking frogs compared to the sound that angels would make. What would an angel choir sound like? It would have to be beyond anything that we would have ever imagined in its beauty, the sound. The shepherds were about to have their lives changed by a song. the song of the angel. And that night, the angel said, "Glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth to those whom he is well pleased." And those are the lyrics of the angel song. Good news! They came to inspire hope and not fear. There is born a Savior. The Savior, the Messiah, is born today. A term that the Reformers used to describe this sort of thing is Gloria in Excelsis Deo. Gloria in Excelsis Deo, which is Latin for glory to God in the highest. Glory to God in the highest. Now, the story up to now is pretty impressive. An angel choir, brilliance, shepherds being scared to death. But the story does not end here. For it goes on. After the angel choir has done its incredible singing, there's an important part of the story that we need to understand. And that is what the shepherds did next. The angelic choir was not just this impressive concert where the shepherds went, "Woo! That was incredible. Can you do an encore, please?" They didn't do an encore, but the shepherds didn't just clap and then go back to their business of shepherding. No, the song had made such an impact that the angel's message, the lyrics to this song, had hit them so hard that they had to respond in some way. And they sprang into action by the angel's song. Luke 2:15 and 16 says, "When the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, 'Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about.'" And in my wild imagination, ladies and gentlemen, I can see the shepherds on a dead run toward Bethlehem. And they run from stable to stable to stable. And they say, "Is there a newborn here?" Well, most stables don't have newborn human babies in it. So they could quickly go to the next one. And they went from stable to stable to stable until they found the stable that had a newborn human baby. That baby was Jesus, the Messiah. And it wasn't enough for them just to hear a song about Jesus. They had to be in his presence. After they had seen the baby Messiah, they must have looked at each other and said, "Can we really believe what we're seeing? This baby looks just like a regular baby, but this is going to be the Messiah of the world." And when there's something that wonderful, you can't keep it to yourself. And they didn't. They didn't. They told others about it. They hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph, and there was the baby lying in the manger. After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. All who heard the shepherd's story were astonished. So everyone they came to says, "We've got to tell you something that happened to us. The most amazing thing," and their eyes are wide and people are listening because they are just so excited about what they're talking about. They couldn't keep it to themselves because their lives had been changed by the angel song and the baby and the song that it pointed to. This passage ends by simply saying this: the shepherds went back singing praises. Catch that now. They were there, and then they heard the praises of the angelic choir. They go see Jesus, and on the way back, what are they doing? They're singing a song of praise. They're singing a song of praise because they have seen the Messiah, Jesus. And they couldn't stay quiet. I think of the words of that great hymn Redeem. I sing for I cannot be silent. His love is the theme of my song. And they couldn't keep still. They couldn't keep silent. And they sang praises to God. I love Christmas carols, and I know you do too. But Christmas carols need to be more than just nice songs that bring nice, warm feelings to our soul that we sing every December. The songs of Christmas, I believe, are an opportunity for us to again pledge our devotion and love of Jesus Christ. And every time we sing these songs, and we've sung them a lot, we can't go on autopilot, ladies and gentlemen. We have to really feel these words. As my worship team is joining me, I remind you that the angels said to the shepherds, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all people. And all people put you and me in this story. So let's sing along with the angel choir. Let's join them at the top of our lungs and sing glory to God in the highest, Gloria in excelsis Deo. We're going to sing the song, Angels We Have Heard on High. And let's stand and sing this song like we really mean it. Thank you for sending your son Jesus to be our Savior. We just humbly bow our heads and say glory to God in the highest. We worship the Savior and we ask this in His holy name. And everyone said, amen.